church family, both here and online. So glad that we're going to get to be together. If you're here, you may be seated and feel free to continue to intercede. It's Pentecost Sunday, church family. We actually invited some of our leadership into the sanctuary, very much according to all the guidelines, just to begin to agree in prayer and agree in prayer for you and to agree in prayer for our city and for hearts and lives that are just filled with so much turmoil right now. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and 2 today, so if you want to get your Bibles, we have never needed this more than right now. Oh, my word. And really, the heart of today, we had a whole different plan for this morning, and yet, as I was talking with our team and our leaders, Miss Margo Reese was scheduled to preach this morning, but just felt like there's kind of a shepherding moment I need to lead us in this morning on Pentecost Sunday. But we were talking about this issue of everybody's listening to some voice this morning. We need to be listening to yours. And so I'm just encouraging you right now, why don't you get this out? And I even said in the email, take some time, read through Acts 1 and 2 on this day of Pentecost. And we're going to be in there in a moment. As a church family, because we don't get to be in person together so often, we are really having a challenge trying to make sure everybody's getting the information they need. So we want to make sure that if you have not signed up for our emails, and maybe you signed up and for some reason are still not getting, sign up again this morning. Go to the connection card, either on the Facebook or on the website. Make sure we have your contact information, because right now that's the main way we're trying to communicate in an atmosphere that's changing daily. And so we had a service of lament this past Friday to be with all of the hearts as our nation is grieving, as we're seeing everything going on in Minneapolis, and as we continue to feel the wounds that have not closed, and yet there's another wave of grief and anger. And so we had that. We turned that around in 24 hours, that service. But our communication wasn't great on it. So please forgive us for those who didn't hear it. But it's literally that dynamic right now. So we're really encouraging you, stay posted to our Facebook and stay posted to our emails, because literally almost there are just 24-hour periods where we need to share something as a church family right now. Because really, as we see every other community almost fracturing in ways that are just breaking our hearts, we've got to make sure that staying focused on the Word, staying focused on Christ, His Spirit, we don't get fractured. And so the enemy wants to isolate, and then he wants to manipulate. So I want to encourage you, stay connected with that. The scripture says that we mourn and grieve with those who grieve, and then we rejoice with those who rejoice. So this morning, we're going to talk about when we're overwhelmed, worried, and weary, what's the answer? It's Pentecost, which is the day we celebrate today. And so we're going to really focus on both the grieving and the comfort and the refreshing that God wants to bring us all. But then tonight at 6:30, we are doing a rejoicing time, and we get to celebrate with all our high school and college graduates. And it's right to do that, because this is a lifetime moment for them as we're in the throes of yet another season of really making sure God's comfort comes to us. So that's 6:30. You can go to our website and register. Help us know how many people are coming. We want you to come. We want to celebrate our graduates, and it's going to be an outdoor service that's half tailgate and half lawn chairs and half listen in your car. And so please come. It's going to be a really special time as graduates and their families. We get to pray over them. It's going to be powerful. So I want you to be with that. And then also today, next Sunday, we start our summer series, which is so important based on needing the Word of God more than ever in our lives. We're starting a series called Summer Playlist, and we're going to walk through the 50 most essential stories of the Old Testament and see how every one of them is about Jesus and about how He wants to be in our lives and our cities and our communities this very day. And so we want to encourage you, if you go to the cornerstone.ag website, there is a page there for Summer Playlist. And you can sign up to get the entire reading plan, to find out about the Facebook group, to find about weekly email updates for that. And we really, I mean church family, we need the Word of God more than ever before. We need to stay focused. We cannot let any news outlet or social media dominate our thoughts. We need this to dominate our thoughts right now. And everybody's saying amen. It's just their masks are on, so they can't say it loudly. So make sure that you sign up for that. Again, cornerstone.ag/summer playlist. Very, very important. Okay, so here we are in Acts chapter 1. And we often take a moment just to reverence God's word in prayer. We're going to do that right now. I know you're home with a lot going on. Would you press in right now? We need the word of the Lord in our lives. So I'm just going to ask you to press in for this short prayer. Lord Jesus, we need the word of God to welcome the Spirit of God in us, that we might be the people of God you long for us to be. Lord, we're asking right now, cause us to press in. And I pray for the one who is almost so numbed and on such overload that literally mentally, emotionally, there's not even the ability to be intimate and close with you, oh God. Right now, wash over them with the love and the grace that Pentecost brings. I just ask for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time outlining how we're overwhelmed, how we're wearied, or how we're worried. I don't think I need to do that this morning. I think I need to focus on the fact that the day of Pentecost that we celebrate today is actually God's answer to it. It's actually his answer to people who are overwhelmed, who are incredibly weary, and are worried about way too much. This is the answer, the day we celebrate today. And Jesus has a promise for people who are feeling that. The first disciples, they experienced the injustice, the horror, the nightmare, the social unrest, the fear for families, the isolation, the confinement that the cross and the crucifixion and the days after that brought. And yet they met the risen Christ just like you and I have met him, because we have. And that risen Christ made some promises that led to the day of Pentecost that you and I need to remember. Because lots of people are trying to promise us lots of things right now, but Jesus is the one who delivers on every promise. And so I want you to see Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says this. It says, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, I think that's the exact opposite of how all of us feel. All of us would love to depart from where we are right now. We're going to get back to that at the end of this message. Jesus said, no, don't go, but wait for, here it is, the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. Jesus has said this again and again. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, he says this again. He's actually three places in the story of Acts 1 and 2 where he specifically says the word promise in the ESV and NIV. The other place is Acts 2:33. He says, Peter now, he's experienced the promise. Now he's passing on the promise to others. He's inviting them into it. And if there's a crew that gathers in public that has all the makings for a nightmare, it's the crew that actually gathers on the day of Pentecost. All the nations that are there, all the ethnic groups, all the divides, all the storylines. And he says this to them. He's talking about Jesus. He says, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing today. This is the promise that God wants to make to us. He makes it to people who are overwhelmed, who are weary, and who are worried. He says, I have a promise for you. And in that, he says a few things about this promise that I think are incredibly important and prophetic for where we are. The first thing he says, I want you to notice, is he has a promise about a baptism. And you know, you and I think of the word baptism, we think of a religious service, all right? But that word he used, it was an everyday word that talked about, it was a description about how something could be immersed in something, especially the idea of like a cloth that need to be dyed a different color, and how it would, all of it, to the very fabric and core of what it was, would be changed and colored a different way. That's the idea of this immersion. You know a word you could use instead of baptism? You could use the word overwhelmed. God said, I've got an overwhelmed for you that's from heaven. And you know, if you'll go there with me this morning, I think it's fair to say everybody's being baptized by something right now. Everybody, religious or not, is experiencing a baptism right now. An overwhelming, a saturation, a total immersion. I don't know if it's COVID-19 for you. I don't know if it's quarantine. I don't know if it's unrest. I don't know if it's injustice. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's unemployment. I don't know if it's frustration. But there's a baptism going on right now. And Jesus says, I've got a baptism for you. I've got a baptism that you need. I've got a baptism from heaven. And that baptism, the baptisms we're experiencing right now, they're destructive, they're wearying, they cause fear. Jesus says his baptism, it's a gift. He says it again and again. I want you to think about it this morning. He's got an overwhelmingness for us that's a gift. It's a good thing in the midst of so much. And what I love is as you read through the story of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says this sound like a rushing wind. And I love that that detail is put on the day of Pentecost. Because what is that saying? It's saying, I've got something for you that is way louder than anything else in this world. I've got something for you that is so much louder. And I think that's one of the turmoils we're in. We can't get away from the noise of the pain and the cries. And I'm not saying that we want to detach. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God has a way that if we'll come into him, that there's actually a gift, and God's going to do something louder and stronger than in us than this world is doing in us. And it's going to bring a unity instead of division. It's going to bring peace instead of turmoil. And we have to ask the Lord to do that in us. It says on that day, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled how much of the house? The entire house. And divided tongues, wherever you are today, Pentecost is yours. We don't have to be all in one physical place. It's not about all of us as a group. It's individuals. Fire comes. It purifies. It's holy. And it rests on them. And they're all filled. And that the idea of filled is not saying something's in me. It's saying something is overflowing from me right now. I'm absolutely baptized by this. I'm actually overwhelmed by this. Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. It's speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And don't forget what they're speaking about. Their language, what they're talking about, is the wonders of God. And I'm telling you what, just as much as we today almost can't help talk about everything but God, when that baptism comes back in us, we get to refocus and we know the wonders of God. It doesn't mean we're not lamenting. It doesn't mean we're not crying out. But we are doing it of, and this is so important, this promise is about a different spirit. And I want all of us this morning to really think about what's the spirit that's driving us. What's the spirit that's filling us? What's the spirit that's leading our thoughts and our actions right now? Because Jesus says, I've got a promise about a new way to be overwhelmed that's about my spirit. Jesus said in John 6, the flesh counts for nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. It's the spirit that we need. And that spirit will move into physical action. It will move into beautiful transformation, because we're going to see that there's a community that results out of this day of Pentecost that we're all dying for right now. It's of a different spirit. And here, now this is a tough one right here, okay? That promise is about being saved, but it's not being about removed. So important right now. What is at the end of Acts chapter 2, what is the promise about? Peter says, for the promise is for you and your children. Hey, church family, I know a lot of us are thinking about our kids right now. Listen to this promise. This promise is for them. And for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. What's the next verse? And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. He doesn't say remove yourself. He says save yourself. You see, you and I right now, we would love to be removed. And yet, we're living in a culture that is not giving us the chance. We used to have the luxury of being removed from the news cycle every so often. That's not happening anymore. There's no removal from it. There's no space anymore. I think what I've heard a lot of people saying, I think I've said it, is like, boy, I sure would like a break. And I tell you something the Lord showed me as I was focusing on the day of Pentecost and this idea of, God, I want a break. And God's saying, I'd rather just break the power of this. I tell you what, I've realized in my own life, I'm becoming lukewarm when I need the world to give me a break so I can have peace. That's me then. That's me at that moment. That's lukewarmness. Because God promises me an overwhelmingness, a power that is not dependent on whether this world cooperates with it or not. And you and I, we need a baptism and a promise that's going to save us, but it doesn't require removal. Because if we're removed, who's left? And I want you to see the dynamic of these past few weeks and months. The church can't gather together well. But now unrest and turmoil gathers without a problem. I want you to see that. And the church needs not to be removed right now. It doesn't need a break from the news. It needs to change the news. It needs to be the source of something good coming. But you and I, we're not going to do it outside the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to do it outside of the power of His Word in our life. We are going to have to choose to say, my decision is that I want to be saved, but I don't have to be removed. Because God has something deeper for us. And here's the cost of all of that. You know, I've said, and the Lord spoke, so please, it's not accurate to say I said. I feel I transmitted a message from the Lord back in the summer of last year. And we called for this idea of now is the time. And what the Lord had showed me was, as difficult as our culture was and as polarized as it was, it was going to be a whole different animal come November 2020. And we talked about that months ago. And if we're not on a straight march for that, I don't know what else you're seeing. And that whole idea with that, and what was said when this word first came prophetically forth, was this: that the church has been allowed to be lukewarm and to be kind of wishy-washy and on the fence. And you could be part of a church like that, and the culture still gave you enough that you could have enough peace and enough of your, you know, kind of have your pie and your cake and eat it too. Like, it was going to be fun. And the word of the Lord about now is the time was this: that there's a day coming where our culture is going to eat you for breakfast if that's your position. Like, there's just no way. You can't be lukewarm anymore. You can't depend on the news cycle to give you peace. You can't pretend about this word and about the Spirit of God being in your life. And I'm not a pessimist, and I'm not trying to say I'm not trying to be negative. I'm telling you, the book of Acts was that environment, and the church was never better. And people like Peter, who had failed repeatedly, were never better than when they lived in the promise that Jesus had given them. And so you and I have got to do the same thing. You and I have got to do that. We've got to be in this place where the disciples in Acts 6, they're saying, Lord, when are you going to straighten this all out socially? When are you going to restore politically? When are you going to do all these things? What's Jesus' answer? He's like, that's not for you to know what the Father's doing there. What is for you to know? The power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to be my witnesses in the very place, like the road to Emmaus, you'd like to leave. That's what I want from you. And that's what I'm promising you. Church, we've got to hear this promise today. It does require that our focus be on Jesus alone. And I want you to really challenge yourself right now. And I really want you to invite the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now. We can't. It's got to be more than we've ever had before. Your focus has to be on Jesus alone. Acts chapter 2, verses 20 through all through 41 in it, it's all about Jesus. All these nations, all these ethnic groups, all these countries and places that have horrendous stories of hatred and prejudice towards each other, they all get focused on one person, on one way to be saved, and it's Jesus. And they are the ones who say to Peter, who, you know, aren't these Galileans? What's the last time we heard about what people thought about Galileans in the scripture? Like, they weren't all impressed by them. And now these people are saying to Peter, who's a Galilean, saying, hey, what do we do? What do we do? And he's, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Why? To receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that is the only way forward. And so you and I have to recognize, and I want you to catch this, that repentance was public. 3,000 were baptized. Why? Because they were in the temple? No, they were outside on the steps, most likely, where all the mitzvahs were, where 3,000 people could be baptized. Everybody saw everybody else repent. Everybody saw everybody else say, I'm wrong. Everybody saw everybody else say, you're forgiven. And we need a public repentance. We need something people see. And I'm telling you what, right now, we're in a society that has a zero tolerance for COVID-19. And we'll turn our lives upside down to avoid it. That's the same attitude we've got to have towards pride. Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. Turn your world upside down if you need to, but don't be infected by pride. Because that pride is what keeps that promise from moving forward. I want you to see this. It says, save yourselves. This, I can't even describe the crowd that was together that day. But it said, save yourselves from that crooked generation. So those who received his word were publicly baptized, and there were added that day, and I love that the scripture uses this word, 3,000 what? Souls. It's about souls. It's about the soul of every one of us. It's about the soul of our city. It's about the soul of our community. And there's one answer, and his name's Jesus. And there's one promise we've got to live in, the work of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be overwhelmed by something from heaven, and we've got to invite that work into our lives. A zero tolerance for pride. You and I do not get to choose who Jesus puts us next to. We don't get to choose that. And if you think you do get to choose, that's pride. You don't get to choose who Jesus puts you next to. And you and I, we don't get to choose our reputation in this. Our job is zero tolerance for pride right now. It's public repentance. It's saying, I want to be immersed in something different. That's the promise you and I can live in. And you know what? When that promise comes through, Acts 2, 41 through 45, tell me if our world is not crying out for this kind of community. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers, and awe came upon every what? Soul. Everybody was a soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had, how in the world does the scripture say this? All things in common? Are you kidding me? That group of people? There's no way in any worldly definition they had anything in common. But in heaven they had all things in common. And listen to this community that Jesus and the Spirit of God make. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. There are no pre-qualifications. I have to understand your... No, it was a community of compassion. And so I'm going to ask Stanley to lead us in a moment of worship. Leaders, I'm going to ask you to intercede in this moment and all of us together. Here's the question. What do you want to be overwhelmed with today? Because you and I have a choice. We have a choice in what we choose to be overwhelmed by. Before Jesus, we did not. We did not have a choice. But in Jesus, when Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, he was saying, in me, you've got a choice. No matter what's around you, and I want you to hear this, or what's in you. You've got a choice because I set the captive free. And again, I'm not saying be disconnected from the emotion, the anguish, the cry. But what I am saying is, let it be Jesus-centered. Let it come before the Lord and let it be transformed. Let it transform you so a community can be transformed. What do you want to be overwhelmed with today? It's your choice and it's my choice. What are you going to ruthlessly focus on? What's going to be your center? What's going to be the center? That's your choice and my choice today. What are you willing to surrender? I don't know if it sounds right. How humble are you willing to let God make you? Because I'm telling you right now, I can't even say how willing am I to be, because I already know that answer to that one. It's how humble am I willing to let God make me? And put me next to who he wants to put me next to. And make me look like the way he wants to make me look. And say, God, I'm living for a community that is not of this world, but this world needs. And so I just hope that you're sensing, if I can say it this way, the confrontation of the Holy Spirit to your pride right now and mine. Just saying, come on, let me lead. Surrender. And I'm just going to ask Stanley to lead us in that. Holy Spirit, rain down one more time. And when Jesus makes a promise, he never fails at it. So that means right now, that promise is for you. If you and I will be willing to say, Holy Spirit, rain down on me right now. If we're willing to say, Lord, I choose you. I choose to be overwhelmed by you. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Give me something new to say and talk about. Transform my mind. Change the way I see. He'll do it. You don't have to be in the temple for it to happen. It's the day of Pentecost. It's going to happen to you. And I'm going to invite you in this. Make your focus Jesus. Choose your focus and tell the Lord, God, I surrender my pride. Religious or otherwise, I surrender my pride. I need your baptism and I need that community. And as we're going to do that, Stanley's going to lead us in that song today. Some of us, it's really a salvation day. It's an absolute salvation day. Lord, don't remove me, save me today. And then as we do that, we're going to move into after that. I'm going to invite Margo, who was originally supposed to share today and graciously allowed me to share. I'm going to invite her up and we're going to pray together. And all of us as leaders, we're going to pray and you're going to join us. And I'm going to ask that online your comments be this. God, I choose you. God, and we're going to agree together online in prayer. God, I choose you today. Overwhelm me with your presence. God, I can't, if it needs to be, God, I can't, I feel trapped. Or I don't know what your comments are going to be, but it's going to be, make them these, God, make my focus you. Lord, I surrender my pride to you today. Lord, I just ask, humble me so I can lift you up. Whatever it looks like, we're just going to pray through that together for a few moments because the Holy Spirit's at work right now. So you want to join us online through those prayers, start to put them down together right now. Stanley, would you lead us? Make this your song. Church family, be wherever you want to be today in worship. Holy Spirit.